Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 228 of the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up that stool.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And we also have our good buddy John Peters. Pull up your stool, John. I put a little Darth Vader mask on yours.
Oh, good, good, good. It fits right in. All right.
May the force be with you.
Morning, John. Morning.
Morning. Morning, fellas.
Okay, so let's go over this. Weather here in New Jersey isn't too bad today. We're like 50 degrees, 48 degrees, but it's pouring. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. It's a little cooler than that, but it's not snowing, but it's a cold, cold rain.
And John, how unlucky are you down there in Florida, buddy?
well, today, actually, the sunshine, it's about 71, so yeah.
You poor, baby.
It's terrible, terrible, terrible.
So you had to put socks on today, right?
No, not yet, not yet.
Jeez. So how's things going in Florida? I'll tell you what, things aren't going good here. Have you ever had something that you try to fix on your house? I fix it on everybody else's house, but for some reason my house. My shower leaked upstairs. I fixed it twice now, and I'm sitting here recording, and it's in this room. And do you know one little drip dripped out? And I have no idea where it's coming from as we're recording live here.
That's always the way. The construction guys, they never have time for their own house. They're always helping other people out.
But believe it or not, I'm nonstop around here, especially when we get ready to move. But I fix this leak. This is like, and I do it on every, I've had 40s this week at different houses. Another guy was his toilet to drain. But my everyone else's is fixed. Now mine, I tried it, and it didn't want to stay. I don't know why it didn't hold. So now I got to go tear the whole thing apart after we're done recording. Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, boy.
I can't wait to do it. You guys, are you volunteering to help?
Absolutely. I'll be right
down. On the way.
Hopefully by the time you two get here, it might be fixed in that amount of time.
I'd rather go down to John's house and fix his.
Hey, yeah, I got a couple of leaks. Come on I'll down here. We'll go to Disney afterwards. So.
Exactly. That was my thinking. Not that I don't want to help you, Doug. I'd just rather go to where John is.
Well, if you were a real partner, you'd stop here on the way, help me real quick, and then we'd head down to John's and fix this.
There you go.
That's team. That's a teammate. See, you're the guy we were just talking about that dances on the sideline by himself. I'm just kidding, buddy. I know you'd stop and help.
I absolutely would.
So what's new with you, Johnny?
Not too much.
I'm sorry to show so boring to you.
Sorry. It just caught me up a little bit. But we renewed our passes yesterday for our Disney annual passes and stepped up to the gold level, and that includes the photo pass now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we were able to retroactively go all the way back to September. All the way back to September and grab all of the PhotoPass pictures that we have had and download those. So instead of, I don't know, you know, it's supposed to, I think they're supposed to keep them for like 45 days. But like I said, we went back a full 3 or 4 months. And so I was able to download about 50 or 60 different PhotoPass pictures that we've taken.
So does that mean the friends of Main Street have to see more pictures of you on Facebook?
I got tons. So.
No, that's great, because you're right. Usually after 45 days, they just delete them, and they're done. So the fact they did that, maybe they looked at it as they would, reward people that signed up for the new gold package, if you will, and they're going to give them access to the photos a little further back. That's awesome.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, John, as a Florida resident, what does the gold package cost you now? What did it go up to? Exactly, for a Florida resident with renewing, because you get a little discount when you renew them.
Yeah, we get a discount with the renewal and stuff like that. And I was paying $85 a month for annual passes for me and the wife, and a seasonal pass for my son. And with the renewal for me and her, I got the gold and him the silver, because he doesn't need the photo pass or anything like that, and he can still stay with a seasonal. You know, he doesn't want to go in the middle of the summer and stuff like we do. So it's 112 now. So it went up. Well, about $30, I guess.
But he has a better pass than you do, too. I'll tell you what, that would be the only check in a month that I'd write and be happy about.
Yeah, exactly.
I just quit tracking on it to make sure they got the payment.
Yeah. I'm so jealous. That is so, I mean, I'm glad for you, John, but that's so nice to be able to finance that over 12 months. I mean, you know, it would just make it so much more affordable to so many more people if they allowed that for, you know, non-resident people as well.
Yeah. Disney was actually the last one to do that. We've had passes from SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and Universal before, and they've probably for the last 10 or 15 years all offered the monthly payment program, and I think Disney only started it probably 4 or 5 years ago. And before that, when we bought the passes, we'd have to come up with, you know, 3 annual passes. That's a chunk of change up with at one time. So
absolutely.
I mean,
yeah, this makes it incredibly easy.
Yeah, it's like a utility bill. I love it.
Yep.
And you know they would sell many more of them, but I, you know, Disney looks at itself as a premium product, which it is, and you know they figure they want their money in their bank accounts accruing interest instead of in our individual bank accounts. But you'd think that they'd sell so many more that it'd be worth it for them to do that, but.
You think it's a bank thing or something like that with out of state? Because I really don't understand why they wouldn't give everybody the option.
No,
because
you could put it on a credit card if you wanted to make monthly payments. You could do like American Express or something where you got to pay that monthly bill. You know what I'm saying? So it would automatically come in. I just don't get it. I mean, because I think everybody, I know I would do it. I think I would have a season pass more than I did in the past years, just because of it.
I mean, the way I look at it, too, even if I wasn't going on a trip for a year, I wouldn't let it lapse. I would continue with regardless once I had that payment going. I mean, you know, being a DVC member, I mean, I've been writing a check to Mickey for the past 12 years. So, you know, it would just be like you said, Doug, just another bill in the pile, you know.
Yeah, it'd be a utility bill you would actually enjoy paying.
Exactly.
But
so
I don't get it, because I think it would have more people on the hook to go. I mean, even if you could buy, like, see, I think it's even wrong. Like, they should be able to sell out-of-state seasonal passes. Because, okay, for people like us that don't get to go all the time, then how sweet would that be?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it. Who knows? Maybe they'll do it in the future, but, you know.
Because Mrs. Goff buys one that you can't go – what is it, John? You can't go weekends or holidays or during the summer. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's the weekday pass. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I would book my trip from – I would go – what is it? Weekday. Now, how do they do that? They consider on that seasonal pass, do they consider Friday part of the weekend?
No, just Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so what I would do is I'd book my trip for 5 days, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, there you go.
And then maybe you get me down twice a year, because the seasonal pass is only, what, a couple $100?
Yeah, that one's not bad at all.
Yeah.
The weekday one, it's not bad.
I mean, you get me down 2 or 3 times a year for 200. You know what I mean? And then they're getting their money from us all the time. I don't get their thinking in some ways.
I mean, maybe just to manage it, like to keep track of all the payment. If they did it, you know, worldwide, if you will, if anybody could finance an annual pass, maybe they just need a large operation to be able to keep track of it. And then people inevitably are going to default on it. Some of them are because, you know, they lost their job or something happened.
Pass just
they
canceled.
Got a partial ticket. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, you know, come up. There's got to be a reason why they don't do it. I mean, it's, you know, we just don't know what it is, but.
You know, to play devil's advocate here for a second, but I think maybe the reason would be because if you're out of state, you're going to come down and get your annual pass, and you're here and you're spending 5 days in the park, 6 days in the park right there. Well, the down payment on the annual pass is only 1 day admission, $112. So perhaps they're thinking people will come down on vacation, you know, use that annual pass to go to the park 6 or 7 days, and then default on the rest of the payments.
Right.
And then they've only spent $112 as, you know, and for the rest of the year, they don't really care that they defaulted on the payments.
Okay. I mean, we know we wouldn't do that, but I mean, you know, you got to look at the masses. And right, there's all these little nuances to it that Disney just says, no, we're a premium product. If people want our tickets, they're going to buy them, and that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing of it is like, okay, so like the seasonal passes and the stuff like that, well, maybe seasonal pass, being it's only a couple $100, you got to pay for it in full.
Right. Well, again, back in the day when it was, you know, a couple $100 times, you know, three or four, depending on how big your family is, that was somewhat affordable. I mean, it's still a big chunk of change, but, you know, now John, just, you know, you're paying, it's over $1,000 now for your tickets. For your
family. I think it was $1,500, $1,600.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's serious money, but you enjoy it. You know you're going to go, so it makes sense to do it. But, you know, that's a big chunk of change for most families. And, you know, I feel bad for the, you know, families that have, you know, three or four kids and, you know, maybe extended family, mother-in-law, what have you. You know, that's big money.
Yeah, Scott had the five of them he'd had to pay for.
Right.
One
right.
chunk. That was the own $3,500.
Yeah. Oof, boy.
Well, I mean, it's the second biggest expense is for a Disney trip. I mean, your lodging is number one, and, you know, we took care of that with DVC, but the tickets, you know, that comes in a close second, and then, of course, you know, you got to eat when you're down there. So those are the big three, and if they could make it more affordable or make it easier for people to, you know, not have to come up with that money all in one fell swoop, that would be awesome. Well, I mean, what we used to do is pretty much take our tax returns. We were lucky enough where we'd get back, you know, every year a sizable amount of money, and that would pretty much pay for our tickets each year.
See, the good thing is I heard on Lou's show that he put out one of his hints that he normally does,
right.
And he said, don't be surprised if there's new ticket tiering and better discounts for the new year. So what he's talking about is remember how the rumors were they were going to, like with you guys, with seasonal passes and stuff like that, they're going to price the tickets kind of like they did the rooms at different times of the year, different prices.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so, but there's going to be different tiers for different packages for everybody is what he was saying. So we'll see how that works out. But me and Brent, we always go down the least crowded times of the year, so it wouldn't bother us because usually we don't have the kids, so we can go when we want to. We don't have to go during all this, the New Jersey week and Christmas week and Thanksgiving, all the days that the kids have off. So it would be advantageous for us. But I could see families, you know, that are going down on those days, if those tickets might be a little bit more. I mean, if they're going to give you a break at one time, they're definitely going to hit you on another.
That's for sure. Well, enjoy your annual passes there, John. I'm sure you'll get good use out of them.
Oh, yeah, we're going to take advantage of them in 2 weeks, so head over there for the day. So.
We're looking forward to the report of where you go.
You got it. Already got fast passes for Toy Story, so finally got in there. It's been a while since we were able to grab one for that. So.
Yeah, Dennis don't even care about that.
I do. It's my 17th favorite thing at the studio.
There you go. That's just wrong.
Well, 17 out of
dude, I want you to name the other 16. It could possibly be better than that.
Okay. I could see Charlie Carr Cafe.
I could see five or six. I can't see 17.
So. Let's see here. Want to do some news?
Yes,
or what?
Dear.
All right. not too much happening, but we had a few things here. The Fairways course at Fantasia Gardens mini golf course is going to be closing for refurbishment. Let's see here. You guys ever do the mini golf down there?
Many moons ago. They're very nice courses. With the free.
Yeah.
How you get that free voucher, and they get you over there to pay for the other two members of your family.
Right. And that's exactly when we did it. When we, I think our second trip, we went down there when Disney would mail out their package. They'd, you know, put some freebies in there or whatever, or discounted things, one of which was the golfing, and, you know, the other one was Planet Hollywood, as you remember.
Go over and get your free T-shirt.
Yeah, unfortunately, I took them up on that. That was the first and the last time I've ever been there.
It's been a while for me, too. I think that same for us. We got a T-shirt and I think a mug or something, me and Brenda.
Yeah, like a drink.
Yeah, beer stein or something. Yeah.
Yes, we still have it somewhere.
Yeah, so do I. I still got the T-shirt. I try to fit into it every once in a while.
Yeah, when I'm digging around in some cabinet that we never used and stuff, the fondue set, it's in there.
Yeah, I threw that on because that was back 20 years ago, and I threw that on for Brenda one time. I had a belly shirt. Planet Hollywood shirt.
Well,
it was a sight for sore eyes. I look like Urkel.
So that'll be closing down. So if you're going to be partaking in mini golf, you may want to just check your park schedule for that day, because one of them will be closed down.
And I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think with the newer packages, Dan, I think there's a voucher for each of your family members for the mini golf. I think they're changing that. So check that out next time you guys book a trip. You might have a voucher for all of you.
We play the summer Winterland courses all the time, but the Fantasia, it's just not very, I don't know, it's not as interesting as the goofy one over there. So we play mini golf quite probably two or three times a year, but we always hit the other course. So.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. Well, you're, you know, a Florida resident and you're there multiple times a year. You can take advantage of things like that. And, you know, it's not all about just go to the parks. I mean, there's a lot of other things to do, mini golf included, which to me makes Disney World what it is. And, you know, I would just recommend, you know, people are going for the first time. It's probably not something you want to not waste your time on, but spend your time on. There's so much to see and do. But once you get that second and third trip under your belt, these are some of the things that, you know, particularly if you're doing a, you know, an 8, 9, or 10 day stay, you can definitely, you know, do something like mini golf and have a fun family day without having the stress of the parks, and, you know, maybe do a resort day and jump over and play a little mini golf for an hour or two, and have a nice day at Disney World without, like I said, facing the masses in the parks.
Or if you're kicked out because of one of these parties and don't have a park hopper, you can go play mini golf.
There you go.
So Disney, add park hopper. I shoehorned that in this week, didn't I?
You squeezed it in.
A long way around the bend, but you got it.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah, a little bit more information coming out about Pizza Planet refurbishment. We mentioned last week that it would be closing to go through a refurbishment, and they're saying that the refurbishment will be taking most of 2016 to complete. When it reopens, it'll still be a quick service pizza restaurant, but it isn't clear yet whether it will continue to be Pizza Planet or if there'll be a change of theme as part of the refurbishment. So stay tuned for more information on that. It'll be going down on January 19th and due to open up on or about November 7th.
Show of hands, how many people have eaten many times at Pizza Planet? I don't see any hands.
One and done. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might have eaten there once, or maybe we haven't. I'm just remembering somebody else going in there. But I have heard the pizza is not that good. That's all I've heard. But
I can honestly say I've stepped foot in it, but never ordered anything. I've went in to see it just because I'm a Disney geek and have to see poke my nose and everything. But I can honestly say I've never eaten there. So I mean, and I'm not trying to be Dennis. It's kind of like you being a snob from Boston.
Oh, and, God.
You know, you're a snob with seafood at Boston. But it's kind of I love my pizza, and it has to be a certain way. I'm not an Elio's pizza kind of guy, and that's what it smelled like when I went in there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's mainly for the kids, and, you know, the theming around Toy Story, obviously, is the attraction there, and the food is secondary, and I think that, you know, it's not Via Napoli, that's for sure.
And,
you know, I don't think it's meant to be. I mean, it's meant to, you know, give the kids something to eat while enjoying, you know, some props and, you know, some stuff affiliated with the Toy Story franchise.
And up here in the Northeast, one thing I will miss is we have really great delis and diners, like the comfort food, like pizza places are everywhere, and pizza up here in Philly and New York City and Boston is some of the best pizza around. Chicago will argue with it, so I'm not yelling at you, Chicago. Your deep dish is the bomb. But you know what I'm saying. But when you, like, to me, when I eat down there, it's either I get them once in a while at Riverside. Is it just late at night and you grab one? Even with that, it's okay. But I speak good English, don't I? I like, Wolfgang Puck, I really enjoy, and Via Napoli is awesome. But besides that, they're about the best pizza you're going to get in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of, you know, even like you mentioned, Doug, at the food courts, you know, if you're hungry and you want a piece of pizza, I mean, it's palatable, it's okay, but you're right, you're not going to leave there saying, wow, that was some of the best pizza I ever had.
No.
You know, if you're just in the mood for pizza, it's just, what is it now? Spoodles. What it used to be after Spoodles. What's her name, the chef there?
Kat Cora.
Yes, Kat Cora. Thank you, John and Doug. They had a great pizza window that we used to frequent quite often when we were on the boardwalk. That pizza wasn't too bad either. I'd put it up in, you know, maybe not comparable to what you could get back home, but certainly more in the gourmet style pizza than the Pizza Planet pizza.
Exactly. Like Via Napoli, they put effort into it. There's some really good pizza there. It's really Italian pizza. It's good stuff.
Right.
The same thing with Wolfgang Puck's. At least it's gourmet pizza like you're talking about. There's effort put into it. It's just not a round dough with some marinara sauce and some pepperoni slapped on it with some cheese.
Ragu sauce.
You know what I'm saying? It's not saying it's horrible. The kids like it, but of all the options in Walt Disney World, when I'm down there, even if I can't afford to eat out at sit down every single night, I still like to try the counter services like we talked about with they're walking up and get the fish and chips at Rose and Crown, or going to China and getting some takeout, or Japan, like all the counter service there. At least you're experiencing something that you're not going to get at home.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
what I want to do. So that's why I've never stepped foot. I'd rather do like Peas and Carrots did on the last trip and sit outside at the Brown Derby than go over to Pizza Planet.
Yeah. That's not. I don't think you'd get any argument from anybody there. I did see earlier in the week on Pizza Planet, there was some speculation that potentially, when it reopens, it could have a Muppets theme to it. That was, again, not from Disney, but just some folks in the Disney community speculating, and that wouldn't be bad either, I think.
No, that's what we do the best, speculate.
Yeah, then we can remember the things we got right and quickly move past the things we were wrong on. We never said that.
Exactly. We're always right, right, Dan?
Exactly.
We're even right when we're
Doug,
wrong.
You got your Wi-Fi, so you're good. So. You have that feather in your hat, right?
Yes, so. Now I'm going for that park hopper. There was something else I was right about. We don't have to bring it up now.
Oh, yeah. We'll just publish a list and put it up on the website.
There you go.
Doug's rightisms.
There you go. I was right when I brought you on, wasn't I, Dan?
I don't know. Some would argue.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for news. I mean, we all know the Osborne lights went away. They had their finale, and I thought I read somewhere they actually extended it a couple nights.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was kind of nice. I was surprised to some of the guests that were down there that might not have been able to see it, or they were just arriving in Orlando for a vacation. So, that's gone.
I think what I read is they kind of extended it 3 extra days for, like, the locals to get it past the New Year and all, to kind of give the locals a chance to come out without all the major crowds. And I'm sure Disney did it to get people in the gate. Get people over to the studios. 3 extra days of people in the studios is good thing for Disney.
Absolutely. But it's kind of sad that an old standby has come to pass. But like we always say, with all these theme parks, there will be change, and it continues to change, and we'll see what the future brings. And Star Wars Land, I guess, will take up that footprint where the Osborne lights were.
Absolutely. I can't wait, to be honest with you. The other thing is, Dan, your vacation club turned 25. They opened up a new lounge for you.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the lounge, and we're going to get new ID cards and all kinds of things. And that's kind of nice. I know even you, Doug, even though you're not a DVC member, you always stick up for me and us that are, saying that, you don't feel we get enough perks.
Absolutely, you don't.
Take things away from us. And so it's kind of nice to read and hear that they're going to be doing something to commemorate the 25 years of the Disney Vacation Club.
And we'd also like here at WDW Main Street to congratulate everybody that did all the marathons this week at Disney World. Good job, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been following on Twitter and seeing Mike and all them down there, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, it's nice to see all of the pictures and the accomplishments. That's an accomplishment, man. I don't know. I know I could do it, but I don't know if I want to do it. But it is.
Doesn't look like a lot of fun. Well, I guess it looks like fun, but not fun. I don't know. There's certainly a lot of characters and stuff, and you get interactions that you don't get to see in the backside of the park. But man, getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to run, I don't know.
Yeah, and then one of the scariest things was seeing Mike take an ice bath. I mean, come on, Mike, what was that all about? Did you see that on Facebook?
And I missed that one. But,
I mean, he was in his full uniform. There was nothing bad going on, but it was just like, hey, Mike, I don't need to see you in a tub, buddy.
I know I couldn't do it, and I know I don't want to do it. That's for sure. And but I do, you know, in all seriousness, that is a great accomplishment, and some people do train to run a race, even if it's just one, to do it as a bucket list thing. And again, in all seriousness, those people deserve props. But to me, running, like anything else, is kind of a lifestyle. And if you follow Mike Rallman, you've seen him kind of go from a non-runner to, you know, he's possessed now. So good for him.
Yeah, and we have our good friend Judith that, you know, we always correspond back and forth with her. She competed this weekend. Congratulations. And she also tweeted out that she was going to head over to the Grand Floridian. She was just letting us know she was going there to eat.
Yeah, I saw that. That reminded her of us,
yes,
or our show, I should say.
Yeah, because us joking around and picking on her.
Right.
We know we're allowed in the Grand Floridian. We're not saying they like us there, but we know we're allowed in. Right. I'm just kidding. But the WDW couple, there's been a lot of friends of the show that have competed down there. So congratulations, guys. Job well done. And I would like to do like my wife would be able to do it. She runs on the treadmill constantly for hours up there. I mean, she can run a full hour and a half while we're watching TV, not even break a sweat. Like, she is, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking at her over on the bed eating a tasty cake going, oh my goodness, how you doing this? Taking a sip of mug or, you know, iced tea.
You
or
need
something.
A towel? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, baby. But no, she'll get on it for like an hour and a half and do a fast walk or whatever. And she gets off, she's fine. I'm like winded watching her. But I would like to do it for the camaraderie. I think it would be a lot of fun to hang out with everybody down there.
Yeah, and I think that's what draws a lot of people to the Disney races, Doug. And I know that, you know, if you follow them, they have the cheering squads. And for years, like Ricky, she never ran, but Ricky and Pam would get up in the middle of the night with signage and go on the race course somewhere. And then when Mike, jogged by, or some of the other be our guest podcast listeners, they would cheer them on. So even if you're not a runner or you choose not to do it, you can still kind of participate in the race, and that you can support those that are running.
Absolutely, because it showed pictures of him this week. It showed Pam and her husband there with Mike early in the morning supporting him. And it's a good thing. And like Lou Mangiello said, anybody can do it. I think I said this before, but he said he keeps food and he has his backpack and he keeps food in his pockets and he's happy to go.
So he got like a slice of pizza in
there? No, but he was saying he has all kind of like bars, cereal bars, and this and that.
Oh, energy bars and stuff.
But he was talking about candy, Kit Kats, or he was saying something. He was cracking me up. He goes, I got sodas in my backpack, and I got candy in my pockets. He goes, that's the way I do the marathon. I'm like, you go, Lou. And he goes, you know what? We all get the same medal at the end.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I give him credit. I mean, he ran it, it's got to be 7-8 years ago now, but, you know, he claims he'll never do it again. But he set it as a bucket list goal, and he did it, and, you know, he was hurting after it. But, you know, he has that one medal from doing that one race, and he's good now. So, you know, even if you did that, that might be a goal to strive for. Just the 5K, you know.
I would do that. I especially, again, when we get down there and live down there and you could do more. It's just taking my trip to do marathon week, like, I try to avoid the crowds.
Right,
you know, we
right.
go in February, in January and February a lot, but we go when it's not marathon week, because marathon week is crazy down there.
Oh, yeah, all the rooms get sucked right up. And, think about it. They've done a great job marketing running. Think about mm-hmm. it. And now that, you know, they want to fill those resorts up, and they tend to do them at times when, you know, it's not peak, obviously. And all those people need to eat, they need to sleep, and all those things. So they're utilizing the, you know, all the facilities and the resorts. And, you know, that's very smart on Disney's part, because those slower times of the year now are filled with all these runners from all over the world.
Now, John, I heard that there's going to be a different craft beer at every mile marker for the full marathon.
I'm signing up. I'm there.
that would entice you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that probably would. You know, maybe just a 6-ounce sample at every mile marker.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
A beer flight, that would work.
There you go.
I think that would get you through it. You would burn it off. You wouldn't even get a buzz, I don't think, because you'd be running it off between miles.
Yeah, exactly.
But there you go. Do it a Disney half beer-a-thon.
Hey, don't give them any ideas. Yeah, they can incorporate that into food and wine.
So, yeah, the food, right? And food and dash or whatever the one out there.
There you go.
Well, they have the wine and dine now.
Yeah.
Call it. Yeah.
Yeah, but we want beer and run.
Yeah. Beer and barrel.
Yeah, there you go. But that.
You got any? You got some news there, Doug? You got some? Talk about some primates or something.
Well, there was a new baby monkey born over at the Animal Kingdom this week. Have you ever seen Marcel from the Friends?
I have not.
Have you ever watched Friends, John? The TV show Friends?
No,
well,
no.
It's a little tiny monkey. It resembles that. They have a new monkey that was born down at the Animal Kingdom. It shows it sitting with his mother. It's a this week Disney Parks photo, new baby Marimoset. At the Disney Animal Kingdom. It's a really cute thing. They're little tiny monkeys. They're like the ones with the fat face, the little white around. Did you see the pictures of them, Dan?
I did. I was just thinking, and you'll love this. Is that the one that they call Jack in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Exactly, yeah, that kind of monkey. That's exactly what it reminds
okay.
you of.
I knew you wouldn't like that I referenced Johnny Depp, but I figured it was...
Oh, man, don't even get me started on that fraud.
It's Barbosa's monkey.
Yes, he's sad. I seen him on the People Choice Awards. When did he start speaking another? He has an accent. He's born in the United States.
From France.
He's born in the United States. He's up there speaking with an accent. He's such a fraud.
Yeah, I think he's from Tennessee or something like that.
Go back and watch 21 Jump Street and watch how he talks. He's such a moron. Sorry, everybody, but I can't take the man. He's a fraud.
Oh.
Anybody's...
You're killing all our Pirates of the Caribbean
I love
fans.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. I just wish they'd have had anybody in there. I'd have rather seen Barney Fife. It just... Anybody that says they wouldn't want to raise their kids in America and they move out of the country and then he promotes all his movies here and one of the greatest American companies sponsors him in Disney and he still wants to talk junk about America. I don't know if I have that much heart for him.
Yeah. But... Well, I don't pay any attention to Hollywood because if you live your life or listen to what most of them people say, it's not in line with my thoughts. So I just ignore them all and look at them as actors and actresses, and that's it. I don't really care what they have to say on politics, religion, or anything else because, like I said, I just ignore
I get fired up. You know how I am about him. I just
and I heard he also ordered the crab legs at Fulton's. He was just eating them like crazy.
Yeah. Last time I'm at Fulton's, and they let him in there. No, you know, it's just, you know, him speaking that. Come on. You know, it's sad. But no, go over and check out the new monkey. He's cute as could be. Get over there, John. That's your correspondent. You got to report on the new monkey.
I'll try to find
you
him.
Do that. He's going to be the new mascot of the show.
They're
good little thieves, them monkeys.
They are.
So you want to get into what we're going to cover the rest of this episode?
Yeah, we just figured we'd kind of take from this the Disney Parks blog. They basically covered what's new in Walt Disney World for dining in 2016. And we've all seen the Disney Springs area in particular just blossom with new restaurants and offerings down there. And this article kind of ties all these things together. But believe it or not, there's going to be 16 new offerings down in Disney World over the next year that we're going to get to experience and see and enjoy. So we figured we'd talk about some of these and see what we think and see what we're looking forward to and maybe not what we're looking forward to, depending on what it is. But first on the list, they're saying they're going to have Sunday brunches. They're going to be the hot weekend ticket at Narcosi's Waterfront Brunch, they're calling it, at the Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. The brunch at the top debuts February 7th. Will debut on February 7th at California Grill at Disney's Contemporary Resort. So these will be two new brunch offerings, one at Narcosi's, one at the California Grill. What do you guys think about?
Covered them a little bit with John. I mean, with Bob and them. Remember the year-end show?
Yep,
we picked on it, but we wanted to rehash it because it's the Contemporary is not open to February 7th. The Curses is already open. Now, for people to have money to burn, it's another offering. And
right.
I bet Johnny Depp would do it.
Now you're starting trouble there. I'm going to mute your mic. But yeah, I bet he would. And then he would say, I'm not paying for it because I'm Johnny Depp.
They'd comp him anyways.
Yes, exactly. Just to have him in the restaurant.
Exactly.
No, but the point is, I wouldn't mind maybe an anniversary or something like that, doing that, if you follow me. But to just do it on a normal trip, I don't know if I could justify it. I'd rather have I'd rather put that kind of money out for a meal, a dinner, than a breakfast or a brunch. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, myself, I mean, I swore off, buffets in general after the last trip. But, I totally agree with you, Doug. I mean, and even more from a time perspective. I mean, unless I was doing a 10-day trip, I wouldn't consider it, money aside. But even if I, was going to do something, I'd rather save the money for a nice dinner at Gico or something like that than do this offering. And you're right, it is kind of on the high end. It isn't a Chef Mickey's or something like that, although those can be expensive for a family. These are even more so. And I remember we read some of the offerings, and there's some what I would quote more high-end food on these buffets. And I don't necessarily have that large of an appetite in the morning for a brunch or a breakfast, so I would personally pass on these. But I'm glad that they're offering them, though. Just something.
What's your thoughts, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm in the same ballpark as you guys. When you get up in the morning, I prefer just a pastry and a cup of coffee or something like that. And then as the day goes on, I don't know if it's the healthiest way to eat, but that's what I, you eat a slightly bigger lunch and then a bigger dinner. That's what I always, and I like to save our budget for a nice dinner at LaFellier or something like that, as opposed to eating a big hunky breakfast and then not feeling like doing anything for the rest of the day.
I mean, it sounds good. I mean, I'll read the Nurkosis for you to get the idea. It says, brunch begins with a specialty beverage, champagne mimosas or signature Bloody Mary for adults, a smoothie for children, a shared pastry basket, which really looks awesome. It's filled with house-made chocolate and traditional croissants, muffins, Danish pecan sticky buns, Vermont cultured butter, and seasonal jams, which, that's all high-end stuff, which is very good. And then enjoy your choice of appetizers, are onion soup, grenache, shrimp, and grits, seafood. I can't even say this, Dan. I'm going to butcher it more than you. Chart Couturier, it's called.
There
artisanal cheeses, selection of romaine salads. For entrees, look for traditional brunch favorites with refined twists. Brioche French toast, lobster eggs benedict, chicken and waffles, freshly caught seasonal fish. Now, depending on what time you eat here, I don't want fish at 11 o'clock. I'm sorry. Unless I'm up at 4. Steak and eggs, and more complete your meal with sweet ending, a trio of desserts. Cost is $69 for adults and $41 for children ages 3 to 9. So if you have a 10-year-old, it's $69. What 10-year-old is going to eat a $69 breakfast?
I mean, you could almost feed them for a week at the food court for that
exactly.
much.
Exactly, and I'm not saying
kidding.
I mean, Nurkosis is a beautiful restaurant. I mean, with the views of the Magic Kingdom and all, it's an awesome place. But I'd rather have dinner at Nurkosis than to have this.
Yeah, I mean, and this is probably something you'd do if you were celebrating a special event, or maybe your mother or mother-in-law or something is having a, 75th birthday, who knows? But, I mean, it would be, to me, something you would do once in a lifetime. This isn't something every other trip you're going to book this offering. That's just my
Opinion. Maybe you're down there, your daughter, like you, Dan, I mean, if it happens, your daughter's getting married there or something like this, and you want to do something special
right.
for the family. I could see something
right.
like that, and even that, I'd rather just see you at the restaurant out and just do something normal.
Right.
But my point is, if
right.
you're doing something very special like that, or an engagement party or something, yeah, I could kind of see it. But, I mean, for me, to $69, I could eat at Le Cellier and get a filet mignon for dinner for less than that.
Right. And again, I'll always go back to my old, sweet spot here. I mean, just face it, though. There's people that go to Disney World that are staying in those $700-$800 a night rooms at the Grand Floridian or whatever. And this is the same as you and I.
Paris Hilton will be tearing it
wallet.
Up in there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
no,
I mean, they need to offer something for everybody on property. And there's people that are willing to pay this and, quite frankly, don't even break a sweat over it. So it's all good.
Like I said, if I hit this $1.3 billion on the Powerball, maybe I'll treat us all to breakfast here, brunch here.
Oh, that's...
I'd be just as happy with the bounty platter.
There
I'll
you
tell
go.
You the truth, so I'm okay.
Yes, me too. Yeah. So okay. Second item they have here is the as we've all been looking forward to the Jungle Navigation Company Skipper Canteen in the Magic Kingdom will be opening up, and this is going to you'll be able to try a nice rice noodle bowl, sustainable local farm. Raised shrimp in chili garlic sauce, or kungaloosh, which we'll remember that from the Adventurers Club.
Except this one an is African. This one here though is alcohol free though.
Right. This is an African. Yeah, it's in the Magic Kingdom. An African-inspired chocolate cake with caramelized bananas and cashew caramel ice cream.
I'm in.
This is, this is an all new menu for the Disney chefs. So you guys really looking forward to this new restaurant in the Magic Kingdom?
100%. You, John?
Yeah, I'm a big Jungle Cruise fan, so it's definitely on our radar to hit sometime, hopefully February or March. I want to get over there and hit it. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying that, you know, the Magic Kingdom is wanting for more eating options, especially sit-down eating options. So this is this will fill the bill, at least start to, start to make it so that there's more places to eat. But I do like the theme as well. It's going to be interesting to see all the props and how they tie it into the actual attraction itself. So this ought to be a fun place to go in and actually just look at all the wall hangings and different artifacts that are going to be there.
I think maybe it's going to have a lot to do, like, you know, the ride on the Jungle Cruise depends a lot on your skipper, and I think eating here is probably going to determine a lot on your server. You know, just like 50's Prime Time, they're probably either going to make your meal or slightly disappoint you depending on how much they get into
until
the
until we eat there. Don't tell my wife that there's going to be interaction with it. I won't be allowed to have this meal. You know what I'm saying? But the prices aren't bad here. The high-end price of this restaurant is Dr. Fall's Signature Grilled Steak. It's a strip loin of asado marinated and sofrito and served with Yukon planks, avocado, and house-made chimichurri. Easy for me to say.
Yeah,
holy moly, what's that all about? I think this, they want the skippers to hear you ask for this and laugh at you. Yeah, and then the rice bowl with chicken's like $22. Trader Sam's head of shrimp. See, head on shrimp. I still don't think I'm going to be able to wrap my head around that.
Right. Usually they cut them off, but
Ever ate shrimp with the head on?
I haven't, but I think it has something to do with it. Maybe it's just it's saying that, but it's not going to be that. The tie into the shrunken heads there in the Jungle Cruise. Maybe that's the play.
See, we'd have to get this on the guys if we ever did a guys trip. Well, not ever. When we do a guys trip, the Skip's mac and cheese, because my wife will not let me have it.
It's
a typical Egyptian dish consisting of spice, ground beef, pasta, beach chamel sauce served with broccoli. But it looks like they're trying to make it healthy, so maybe if it has broccoli in it, she might let me have it.
Yeah, it's got to be healthy if there's broccoli in it, right?
Never mind the ground beef or the macaroni and cheese, but it's got broccoli.
Yeah, and that's $19. And then they have a steak salad, which is $18. A rice noodle bowl with tofu. You won't get me near tofu, guys. $20. So, and then they have your favorite, John. Rice noodle bowl with duck for $23.
That sounds good, but I think that'd go with the macaroni and cheese. That really sounded good with the ground beef. So
we're in. We're all looking forward to this new offering.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been hearing about it for a while, and it's going to open fairly soon. And then, of course, we have the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, which over the past handful of years, this year it's going to run March 2nd to May 30th, 75 days. But, as we all know, they've added kiosks to the festival, and it's a mini food and garden, flower.
Easy for you
I'll
to
be
say.
All right. Food and wine, a mini food and wine. I'm getting mixed up. A friend, Bob Sycon, always
food
calls it, what does he call it? Food and flower. So these two festivals are kind of melding together, and it's kind of nice because those that can't get down there in the fall can partake in some of the food offerings. They're not quite the same, but they do have some booths set up around the World Showcase Lagoon, and always a fun time at the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yeah, when's it going to be Christmas and crepes?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty soon. I mean, between what was food and wine this year? 2.5 months?
Yeah, they pushed it. I think it was the longest ever, and it seems like every year they extended by at least a couple of days. Anyways.
I mean, flower and card in 90 days. 3 months, man. Now you're talking – I mean, pretty soon it's going to be – I've said it, and it will come true. I'm kidding. But it's going to be food and wine around World Showcase. There's going to be – food and there's going to be summer and smorgasbord or something. There's going to be year-round food and wine, in my opinion, one of these days.
Do you guys experience the Fire and Garden, John? Or?
Yeah, actually, we usually hit that. I think last year we made it five times, something like that, because this is generally held in late winter and into the early spring, which typically is we're holding on to the nicer weather at that time. Food and wine this year, it stayed hot almost all the way through all of food and wine. So the weather will be a little nicer. They'll have some food offerings. I would say almost about half of what you get for the food and wine.
Yeah.
And then there are also just the gorgeous gardens and the topiaries and all that stuff.
It's one of my favorite times of the year there. It was my wife's birthday's in March, so we've been down there quite a bit. And yeah, it's March 2nd to May 30th this year. That's a long run, and that's beautiful weather in March. February, March,
end of
February, beginning of March and April, I think, is some of the best times in Florida.
Yeah,
March
can
is
be.
Gorgeous, so. Yeah.
It can be, and you're right, John. I mean, for the food and wine, I mean, even all of October, you know, can be extremely hot down there in Florida, and you're right, last year it was. But in the springtime, it, with all of the, like you said, the toperies, and it's amazing to me. Like if you're there during that time, how they'll change the flowers out. Like early in the festival, it's still a little cool, and they can't put all of the different species of plants and flowers out. But they'll change whole beds out overnight, just like they do at the resorts. And if you're there for an extended trip, or you get down there a couple of times, it's just amazing how the different. Different flower beds just change over the course of the festival.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you'll even see some of them grow into. They may plant them as small plants, and
yep.
You come back and you'll have time now. You come back 2.5 months later and see them fully developed. So,
yeah, the festival's always an awesome thing in the spring. So what else have we got here? Tiffins. Tiffins at Disney Animal Kingdom will celebrate the art of traveling, featuring foods from places that inspired the creation of Disney's Animal Kingdom. Open for both lunch and dinner, tiffin is an Indian English word for a midday meal or a type of container used to carry food while traveling.
Yeah, I can't wait for this restaurant. The way I'm getting, I think there's going to be, this will kind of be like views that you get at World Showcase of Illuminations. It looks like there's going to be views from here of the River of Lights.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, figure where it's actually going to be located, whether it was part of Harambe Village or whether it's an alternate location. But again, a nice little add to the Animal Kingdom, where we're seeing a lot of new stuff over there. And with Avatar Land coming, obviously we're going to have a whole bunch of new stuff. But yeah, this sounds like a great add to the Animal Kingdom.
I'm really looking forward
I thought they were putting that in the back of Pizza Safari or...
Yes.
Or right in that area.
Yeah, Pizza Planet along the water there, so you can see there's going to be a river view from it.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay, then adjacent to Tiffin's, the next one on the list, Nomad Lounge will feature handcrafted cocktails using the art of mixology with African, Asian, and South American flavors, beers and wines from those regions, and a selection of specialty non-alcoholic beverages in addition to small bites. So, so we're going to get basically a new bar here, John.
Okay, heading there.
And I like
there.
The idea of the small bites. I'm liking Disney doing this, adding these different locations now that have snack options with drinks, which usually a lot of these snack options that they have are, even though they're saying snack, it's usually enough for lunch, the way the offerings are.
Yeah, I mean, they offer these tapas-style offerings. And again, it kind of goes back to what we're talking about at Flower and Garden. I mean, it's all the same theme, smaller food portions with drink. And, that way you don't have to commit to a full-on entree at a sit-down restaurant. You can kind of nosh your way around the animal.
Exactly.
Kingdom.
That's why I'm excited about all this, because it lets you try more things on your trip.
Absolutely. Let's see, moving along here, we have the Flying Fish Cafe at Disney's Boardwalk. It'll temporarily close at the end of January, then reopen in the fall with a whole new look. And while the kitchen is working on the new menus, Chef Tim Keating promises that potato wrap snapper awesome. And the popular New York strip steak will be back. Stay tuned okay. for details.
Yeah, I've had that bacon, the potato wrap snapper. That is delicious.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, I just made plans. That's where we want to eat during our vacation and at the end of May. And I've been hearing so much about that. I had really big anticipation, and then they decided they were going to close it. So I was afraid I was never going to get it. But now that we know it's still going to be on the menu, I'll be able to hit it at some point. So
it's really good. We've had it. The only thing, again, and I love this restaurant, and I've told the story a million times, but when me and Brenda ate there the last time, the entire – all the NBA All-Stars were in this place. There's like a back room area that we got up and I went to the bathroom and I walked over. Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, George Karl, Shaquille. There was all these superstars. It was during the year that the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat were in the NBA championships with Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade and all. Well, they were all eating at the Flying Fish Cafe. My wife and me were actually in, you know, the store over at the boardwalk? The one on the, it's over, I can't remember the name of it now, it's slipping me. But the main...
The screen door?
Yeah, the store, yes, the screen door. We were in there grabbing drinks, me and my wife, after dinner. And Dwayne Wade actually held open the cooler door for us. And I said hi to him, and he knew I knew who he was, but I never asked for an autograph, I never go out of my way, I just wished him good luck. Because I don't want to feel like that pain in the butt. You know, I'm not that guy.
Right.
But it's amazing. He's the smallest guy on that team, but when he's standing next to you, he's a giant.
Oh, I bet.
The food is really, really awesome here. It's just, the maitre d' and all was kind of like, you guys ever watch Downton Abbey? You ever see that show?
No.
Well, it's yes, my darling. And he's like, he was so uppity. I felt like, I know Judith, like I was at the Grand Floridian again. I just didn't feel like I belong.
A little condescending towards
just,
you.
You know, just was like the butler of the Queen's butler is the way he set us down and was talking to us. And he gave us the once-over with the eyes, and I was dressed nice. But, you know,
it's like, what are you doing over here? You should be over at Pop Century or something,
yes,
right?
Just felt good. No, Riverside, buddy.
Oh.
I'm not down in the bayou. No, but it's really good there. I love the restaurant, John. You'll have a great time there. But it was just the guy that set us that last time, man. I guess maybe because all the people was in there, it was like all the to-do was in there, all kind of stars and stuff. And me and Brenda were nobody. And I think maybe he was disappointed he was sitting us and not Larry Bird.
Probably,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? I was like, yo, Skipper Doug.
Right.
So, but no, you'll enjoy
it. Yeah. We will have to do a trip report on that dining experience when you get there, John.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, moving right along. This ties into the show we did last week or the week before.
227
this
Wednesday.
Yeah, so it was the last show. Minnie's Seasonal Dine at Hollywood and Vine at Disney's Hollywood Studios debuted in 2015, but guests can look forward to new themes coming in 2016, including Minnie's Silver Screen Dine, Minnie's Springtime Dine, Minnie's Summertime Dine, and Minnie's Halloween Dine. So they're going to do seasonal workings, I guess, for this mini show that'll be themed, obviously, around the time of year that it is. Yeah, I mean, this will be nice to see. So they have the regular characters there during the morning, and I guess this will be a show, not a show, but a character meet and greet opportunity if you dine there. To see Minnie and our friends.
Yeah, what it is going to be. It says, award season is almost upon us, and the glitz and glamour of Tinseltown is in the air. From January 4th to March 20th, Minnie Mouse will be inviting all of her friends to join her at Hollywood and Vine, where she's hosting a fabulous dinner party celebrating the glamour of Hollywood. They roll out the red carpet and the whole nine yards. It'll be cute for the kids.
Yeah, and it's themed to the studios as it should be, so that fits right in. That's a nice ad.
Well, I like the idea that they're doing some of this stuff, trying to keep the studios relevant, why they're going to be tearing it apart. So it seems like, no, really, it does seem like they're actually, like with the launch bay that you enjoyed, and some of the other things that they're doing throughout the park, it seems like they're, like with the new, I mean, I know it ain't new right now, but the Brown Derby outside is eating is getting more, you know, more popular now, if you understand what I'm saying. They're trying to keep the studios relevant with all the craziness getting ready to go on.
Yeah, they're just, till the Ewoks get there, they're just filling
yeah,
the void.
Well, they're still trying to improve some of the old stuff and keep it relevant.
Right. Well, I mean, they have to, because they've made the decision, and we all questioned it, but they're keeping the park open, and they're charging full admission during all this construction. So, I mean, they have to offer something. They keep closing things and taking them away. I mean, they have to add some things. I mean, I guess they don't have to, but people just won't go if they don't. I mean, as it is now, it's you know, at least for us, a half-a-day park. But if they didn't offer some of these things, there'd be hardly anybody at the studios.
I'm just trying to give them some
positive it's almost
feedback.
Like
what were you saying, John?
If you were there and you spent half your day, got everything done, you'd almost need a park hopper to go to a different park or something.
Yeah,
yes,
that half-day
yes.
park.
Let's see, what do we got next? Yeah, and we've been reading about this and hearing about it for a while, but start 2016 off with the taste of chocolate at the Ganacherie at Disney Springs. The proprietary blend of chocolate and cream made right in the shop is not to be missed. This lovely little space elevates sweet to an experience akin to wine tasting. So this is going to be high-end chocolate, I guess, is what I take it as.
$75 a box. No, I don't know if that's it. I'm just saying.
No, I'm sure they have some
exactly.
that'll be that expensive. But this is.
Yeah,
like,
I think they had one piece that's $25 or $27. So.
Wow. Well, this is, again, this might be something that if you're, again, celebrating something, you want to get that special little gift, you can pick up a piece or a box of chocolate here at the Ganacherie. But looking forward to it. I'm glad they're adding all these neat little. One-off shops down there, and this will be a good add to the Disney Springs
I'm
district.
Excited about it, but I'll stick to, I always surprise my wife. She loves the dark chocolate in the Italian pavilion, the Italy pavilion, yep. And I always pick her up chocolate there on every trip. Even I was such a good husband when February we were down there with Mom. It was freezing out. They didn't get to come, but I made sure I got her a bag of assorted chocolate to bring back when me and the guys were out at Epcot.
Oh, that was very nice
of
you.
Exactly. I don't know, even though when you're out playing with the guys, you're still thinking of her. So.
All right, moving right along here. And again, we've been hearing about this one for a while, and I'm really looking forward to STK, which is a modern steakhouse mixed with the ambiance of a sleek lounge and emphasizing a social and fun environment. It will be one of the largest STK locations in the world, occupying 14,000 square feet in a two-story
building. Is absolutely gorgeous looking, isn't it? Did you see pictures of it?
It is. I have, and I actually saw some of it being built when we were down there last, and it looks huge, including a main level and the rooftop dining area with incredible views of Disney Springs. So, yeah, that's where it is. You'll be able to kind of look down on Disney Springs if you're up on the rooftop dining area, and that's definitely a bucket list thing for me. I want to get up there and look at that because the views will be fantastic. You'll be looking right down at the Disney Springs itself and over the waterway out there and over towards Saratoga Springs. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one.
The cool thing is, too, besides the rooftop, you got outside, you got side porches on the second floor. And then it looks like there's going to be another outside area in front of it, you know, so you can do, like, if you want to do, like, at Marimoto or the boathouse or over at Jock Lindsay's Hangar, you could try offerings right. without having to have a reservation, too, to see what they have, which I'm happy about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they'll offer, small plates and, different items you can try, like you said, to kind of experience the menu without, committing to a $50 steak.
Yeah,
right?
And I don't mind committing to a $50 steak, but the next few times we're down there, you want to try everything. So I might commit to them with a $50 steak and then try the other three with the small plates, just so I could say I... So, John, what's your thoughts on STK Steakhouse? You looking forward to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of a nice steak, so looking forward to it, and they'll probably have me a horrible lamb offering too, so you know. I feel like I want to go out to dinner with you guys, so just I can order lamb and duck every time we go out to dinner.
Yeah, me and Dennis will be sneaking out, leaving you to check. You do that to us all the time.
Yeah, I'd like to get a nice piece of lamb with cilantro sprinkled on it.
There you go.
With but the yeah, side of duck, right? Duck, what's it? Duck fankeef or whatever.
Well, I don't care what it is. But that's going to be an awesome new, pretty major restaurant coming to Disney Springs. So, that's going to complete the Holy Trinity, if you will, with Morimoto and the Boathouse, and you'll have STK. So there's going to be a lot of new offerings down there, both small and large. So all good.
Well, the thing I'm hoping is it kind of knocks Le Cellier off its little pedestal a little bit. And kind of bring them back to reality, where when you're sitting in there, they don't act like we got to get you out of here. I hope it gives Le Cellier a little bit, sends it back to its greater era. You know what I'm saying. You used to be able to go in there and feel like if you were there an hour and a half, they didn't care. And it wasn't like I'm the type of person that sees a crowd that we don't want to leave.
Right.
But I don't want to be rushed either for dinner.
No, that's true. I mean, but obviously Le Cellier being within the walls of a theme park, it's a little bit different. Some folks, particularly on the first visit, never even get down to Disney Springs or the boardwalk, so may not even get to this place. But
I'm saying the word of mouth. The word of mouth is what made Le Cellier what it is.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it had a reputation, that...
Because the longest time we could go in there, I've eaten there when we first started to go. There was one week we ate there three times, and I didn't make a reservation for any of them.
Yeah, it was just walk up.
Yeah, we were down there for like a 9-day trip, 8 or 9-day trip, and it was kind of like the last trip with Rose and Crown, where we just ended up going there again. And
right.
We did a couple lunches and a dinner there, or two dinners and a lunch, whatever it was, I forget. But each time we just walked up and they had room.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to go back to where there's nobody, like nobody's there. Because there was times we ate there where there was four or five open tables. Because nobody really knew about it back in 98, 99, 2000. It wasn't like, let's get Canadian food.
Right, right. No, you're right. It went through a period there where, like they used to say, people's vacations were ruined if they couldn't dine at Le Cellier. And, that was a shame because it's kind of come full circle. It's still very, very, very popular, but more often than not, you can definitely get something now. If only, maybe a lunch, like you said, Doug, or one of the shoulder times, you can usually get something now.
Well, my thing is when me and Brenda first started to go in there, we just happened to go in. We didn't hear anything about it. We happened to go in and we loved it was beautiful. We loved our experience. But really think about it. When you're going to World Showcase for the first time without hearing all this stuff, back then there wasn't the internet was popular, but it was you had allears.net and a couple other things, but it wasn't like it is now where there's so much social media.
Right.
And when you first started going down, if you went in the World Showcase, does anybody ever say to you, Canadian food is great. I'm not trying to start any trouble, but the first thing that says is you got to get some Canadian food, man.
Right.
No, it's
right.
Usually Italian, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. They all have their own little following, all these different cultures of food. Nobody ever tells me you got to try Canadian food.
Well, oddly enough, right, I totally agree with that. But I think the cheddar cheese soup and the Food and Wine Festival, I think helped Le Cellier become so popular. Because for many years, at least when I started going, when I didn't even know what food and wine was, one of the first dishes I heard about was the cheddar cheese soup.
And it's incredible.
Right, but I think that might be the link that gets you to Le Cellier, because you're right. I mean, when I think of Canadian food, I think of a grizzly bear ripping a salmon apart or something, I don't think of fine dining or steak. And again, no disrespect to our Canadian listeners or whatever.
They're basically brothers to the America. It's just the point of, you hear about Italian cuisine and French cuisine and Mexican, and it wasn't like, it was like when it first opened a World Showcase, it wasn't like the Canadian, in my opinion, it surprised everybody, the best restaurant in all the World Showcase ended up being the Canadian restaurant.
You're right. And it had that reputation, and it still does.
It's incredible. I mean, it's kind of like putting down your favorite child. You know, they do have flaws. You know what I'm saying? I want to go there. The biggest thing that got to me is I still pay cash to go there, so don't kill me. But right. Two dining credits, it's not worth on the dining plan.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's probably part of why it got so popular at one time was that you were able to, weren't you at one time able to use just one credit for a steak dinner?
For the longest time, for like the first six or 7 years, everybody started to go there because of word of mouth and you could go. And then
one credit for a steak dinner, that's a heck of a good deal.
Especially the mushroom risotto and all the stuff they have. Everybody loves the pretzel sticks, the pretzel rolls, the pretzel bread. I said it three times wrong before I got it right. But the pretzel bread, I mean, it's to die for. It's awesome. But it got to the point where when you're talking two dining credits, it's not worth that.
Right, and that's what Disney really pushed it. When it did get so popular, they made that decision to make it two dining credits, and they were trying to capitalize on it being so popular, and that really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And again, I think I'd use the quote for you, Doug. You criticize because you care. It's not that you don't like it. You still love it, but you're critical of it because you want it to get better and not be as quote-unquote snobby as it appears to be now.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the cast members are usually great. The last one we had, he was a little more worried about getting to his next table than taking care of us. It's like, I don't want to be halfway through my meal and asked if I want dessert. You understand what I'm saying? And that's right. The feel I got the last time we were there. And I'm not trying to be snooty, Doug, and I'm not that guy. Give me a hot dog and a fry, and I'm good. I'm not saying that. But the point is, me and my wife have eaten there, I get, without exaggerating, at least 15 times. I can't even count. We've eaten there so many times. And the last time was the first time we ever felt like we were being pushed out the door.
Right.
And I didn't like that feeling. I mean, I don't want to sit there and make people wait up in the waiting room. I'm not that guy, but I don't want to be right there through halfway through my entree. And are you going to have dessert tonight?
Right.
What's up with that? Let me finish the rest of my meal, bro. Ask me if I want another Canadian Molson, not dessert yet.
Yeah, you order a dessert and you ask for a cup of coffee and you get the eye roll like, oh, here goes another 20 minutes, you know?
And I understand that they're in it to make money. That's what it's about. The more tables each server gets is about it. But you know what I mean? It's like, and I hate when people look at you too, like they're trying to push you on. And I've had this happen before because it's usually just me and my wife.
Right.
And they're thinking that they're not going to get a tip, especially years ago with our age. They would look at us like we're not the tip-worthy couple. And they kind of hurt themselves. We had that happen. The worst time was at Disney Hilton Head Island. We ate at the restaurant there. And the waiter was so – he didn't want to give us any time whatsoever. And it was because there was a table of five that I think they were locals that they were trying to take care of. And he seen me and my wife, which we were young at the time. We were probably 26, 27. And it wasn't like he was totally giving us the attitude like he wasn't going to get any tip out of us.
Right, and it's terrible that people stereotype like that, but it does happen. And I've experienced that when, you know, I've gone on a solo trip a couple times to Disney World. I'm always aware of that because, you know, I sit down, oh, it's just you, you know, and right away I'm thinking, geez, I'm gonna get a lousy tip. I got to spend time with this guy, and, you know, he's taking up at least a two-top, if not a four-top. So, I know exactly what you mean.
And when you're by yourself and small like that, and they go out of their way to be super, super nice, they end up getting 25% out of me, not 20.
Yes, because you appreciate that, because I understand, you know.
Because I'm the guy, and tell me if you guys disagree with this, me and my buddy Bob. And Bob, if you listen, I'm sorry. But, like, he believes in doing 20. We would go out to the diner in the morning for breakfast. Well, a breakfast is only like $7. You understand what I'm saying at the local diner? And he would want to leave a 20% tip on a $7 breakfast. $2. See, that's just wrong. I mean, minimum, any meal you get should be a minimum of $5 to $6. So it's no harder. It's just as hard for them to serve you breakfast as it is to serve you lobster. So why should they get penalized for what kind of meal they're serving you?
Right.
At least leave a $5 on the table, Bob. Like, me and him would get, because they'd have the early bird specials and stuff like that, like $4 a piece for dinner. And so we come to like $10 with our drink, and he want to leave a $2 tip. I'm like, come on, Bob. Leave him at least $5. I mean, do you guys think I'm wrong about that?
I don't. And I tend to tip a little bit more. But, you know, it even goes back to the resort hotels. I mean, you got people, and this is an age-old argument, especially people that are in DBC. Well, I pay my maintenance fees, and part of the maintenance fees is to pay the staff, and I don't feel I should leave a tip for housekeeping. I don't agree with that. I think those people are some of the hardest working people on property, and they deserve to be tipped.
We tip every single day.
Right. But you'll be surprised how many people have the attitude that, hey, I paid $3,500 for this Disney trip, and I'm giving Disney all kinds of money. I am not giving them money on top of it. They take it out on the Disney company and stiff the folks that are doing the hard work, like making your beds and cleaning your rooms and serving you for dinner.
They're like me and you, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying? And John. I mean, the point is, like, we leave a little bit each day, yep. and at the end, I leave the most.
Right. Yeah, I leave a little each day, too, because, as we know, the
they
same person.
Staff out.
Exactly. And you'd hate to see somebody that was real good to you not get anything. So at least they get a little something each day. I've said this before. We make up the envelopes before we go. We put Disney stickers on them and put mouse keeping on the front of the envelope.
That's so
and
cute,
then. Yeah, we just put one out each day. You know,
it's awesome.
Just before we leave the room, we check everything, shut the lights, do the thing, and we leave the envelope right on the counter, and mousekeeping knows that it's theirs because it has their name on it.
That's a good idea because we usually leave it up on the we're at Riverside. You know how you have the little ledge there in the sink area?
Yep.
We'll put it up there, or we put it on the main table when you walk in. But we've noticed sometimes at the main table they feel funny taking it.
Well, if it's just cash, I mean, unless it's somehow earmarked, pun intended, you know, they're fearful they might get fired for stealing money if it isn't abundantly clear that that's for mousekeeping, you know what
I mean? Yeah, because I've even tracked them down when they haven't taken it and given them more the next day, like give them that day and plus their second. But you should at least tip the servers. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, don't you feel the same way, John? If you go into breakfast, at the very least, leave a $5 tip. I mean,
absolutely.
On.
Yeah. I mean, generally, you're stopping for breakfast at all around here, Waffle House or Denny's or something like that. And your breakfast for yourself isn't going to be more than $6, $7. But yeah, you can't leave just $2. I mean, come on.
I just think it's wrong. I mean, like I said, they work just as hard and sometimes in the morning harder because I'll see people drink 3 cups of coffee.
Right.
They're refilling more. They're taking toast away. They're adding this. They're doing that. Can I have jelly? Can I have butter? I want wheat. I want white. It's like when it's dinner, they put one bag of rolls on the table.
Right.
When they're serving breakfast for people, I want rye. I want wheat. I want pumpernickel. I mean, am I wrong now?
No, and if you're that tight money wise that $2 or $3 more is going to make or break it, then you probably can't afford to be eating out to begin with.
Exactly. So, but it's just my soapbox again. Sorry.
All right,
guys.
Step on down.
Okay, let's go. Number 10.
Sprinkles.
We get done this Lou Mangiello show.
Yeah, Sprinkles, the world's first cupcake bakery, as named by Food Network and others, will serve up handcrafted cupcakes, slow churned ice cream, and homemade cookies at Disney Springs in 2016. Their innovative cupcake ATM will satisfy sweet tooth, what is that word, epicureans 24/7. So yeah, I've heard about these. Have you guys heard about these machines that'll dispense a cupcake without you interacting with a cast member?
I've heard about that. They also have pizza in certain cities where you get your whole meal out of these machines now. I seen it on Food Network. They showed a lot of these machines. They do subs, they do pizza, they do you name it. They're coming out of these machines. Now, I want a human to hand me my food.
Yeah, I agree. But I still think
it'd
be
a cupcake
kind of
I would try. I don't know about pizza or a hoagie.
Right. It'd be a novelty item.
All I gotta
experience.
Say is, if you're on a diet, don't go to Disney Springs.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many places can you get ice cream or gelato at Disney Springs now? Holy cow! So,
and all the restaurants.
Yeah, then they got the Erin McKenna's bakery there. There's down there as well. So I mean, you got the chocolate place. Not a place to be on a diet, that's for sure.
Oh, wait, Dennis reads the next one. It's even more fattening coming on.
Yeah, so we got Blaze Fast Fired Pizza also comes to Disney Springs in 2016, a modern-day pizza joint known for its custom-built artisanal pizzas, freshly made salads, blood orange lemonade, and s'mores pies. The fast, casual restaurant will feature an interactive assembly line format that allows guests to customize their pizza, choosing from over 40 fresh toppings.
It sounds like Subway for pizza.
Yeah, we were just saying there's no good pizza on property, and now we get a couple more here. So I don't know, is this a franchise? Have you guys ever heard of Blaze Fast and Fire Pizza?
Never heard of it, but I would think it is. You know, I mean, if they have the money to go into Disney Springs, I don't think this is their first joint.
Right, right.
No, you know, all the toppings are great, but hopefully they have a good dough and a good sauce, because that's the, you know, without that, it doesn't matter, so...
Right. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we've talked about that before. That's why Via Napoli, I think they import their water from up north somewhere, so that it's more, the chemistry of the water is more in line with what's over in Italy. And
I might know somebody that delivers that stuff there. There,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, it's the plastic bottles that we get from Italy. They ship it out there just to pour in their pizza dough.
So yeah. That is true.
Jonathan, yeah, that's what I heard. It came from Italy.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture next week of the pallet of water that we take over there. So.
That's cool. Post it on the Facebook page.
All righty.
Yeah, that is cool. We have the inside track here on the water from Italy.
The water's from Italy, and they import 00 Caputo flour from Italy too for the dough. Nice. So that's why the dough is actually really good there. So.
Now, is there any chance of getting a bottle of that water, John?
Yeah, I could probably hook you up a little bit if you want some.
I wouldn't mind trying cooking with it. I can have it when we make our pizza here.
There you go. Yeah, let's see. We also have Homecoming, Florida Kitchen and Southern Shine will showcase the cuisine of Chef Art Smith at Disney Springs when it opens summer of 2016. Smith, who was born and raised in the town of Jasper, Florida, on the Florida-Georgia border, will feature farm-to-fork cuisine that showcases the bounty of Florida and design inspired by the turn-of-the-century Florida architecture of the late 1800s.
I wonder if his favorite country brand is Florida Georgia Line.
This is actually the restaurant I'm most excited about. It really sounds good.
Because it's all local. You pompous Floridian, you.
local farm products, and then just our amount of seafood that we have around here too, and putting them together, just that sounds fantastic. So I can't wait.
Yeah, it's saying that the homecoming menu featured southern favorites like homemade pimento cheese, church lady deviled eggs. You like church lady deviled eggs, John?
I like deviled eggs, so I guess.
low country shrimp and grits, kale salad with sweet grass, dairy cheese, and spiced pecans, and grilled blackstrap pork chops and sawmill gravy. Each dish has a little Florida twist that makes guests feel like they're back on their back porch.
Wow, no alligator on this menu?
No alligator at all.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Florida cuisine.
It also includes, it has a great bakery. It says include the signature restaurant's Mockingbird cake.
Wow.
Okay.
So what happens? After you eat it, you mock each other?
Church ladies and mockingbirds. So.
Church ladies. That's Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live, right?
There you go.
Let's see. We're also opening summer of 2016, Frontera Fresco by Chef Rick Bayless will showcase the gourmet Mexican cuisine that has made Chef Bayless a culinary legend. The restaurant will feature authentic Mexican specialties such as handcrafted tortillas, tacos, salads, fresh-made guacamole, and classic Mexican braised meat entrees, all prepared from the time-honored recipes with natural, local-sourced ingredients. Frontera Fresco will also serve an extensive selection of margaritas, cocktails, beers and wine.
Craft beers and wine, buddy. John's in. Just think, buddy. Now it's Pecos Bills with alcohol.
See, we got enough.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, this is another one that, again, I happen to recognize the name of this chef. He's pretty popular countrywide, I guess I would say. And, yeah, a lot of these celebrity chefs are throwing their lot in with Disney and opening up restaurants down there, and that benefits us guests that go there, because now we have all these great restaurants to choose from.
We're all going to have to run in the 5K just to be able to justify eating down for Disney Springs.
Exactly. Oh, you're going to have to be good all year long and wait for that trip. Oh, I guess, John, in your case, you're going to have to be good a little better than
little
us.
Little at a time, little
yes,
at a time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you got to bring the belt that has two extra holes in it.
Let's see. Look for a reimagined Planet Hollywood at Disney Springs as the flagship venue is transformed into a star-themed Planet Hollywood observatory to match the look and feel of Disney Springs. As part of the makeover, the venue will add a new outdoor terrace and bar called Stargazers and feature live entertainment. Now, that actually sounds like a pretty good upgrade.
Oh, absolutely. And the new the pictures of the rendering really makes it look like it's going to fit into down to Disney Springs.
Right.
So
right.
I'm looking forward to that.
I think now it's kind of an okay. It's kind of go but yeah, with an observatory and a live band and stuff. I think this, this may re-energize that particular restaurant and make it so that you'll actually want to go there.
And it's nice. They're keeping it old. Like I said, we haven't gone there a lot, but you're seeing the building brings back memories. You know, that was the icon when we first went down there. But think about that. The first years we went down in 97, then that was probably the biggest thing down there.
Right, right. Yeah, no, you're right.
Because that's when Sly Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Demi Moore and all them were – that's when it was really becoming big. You would see on TV them taking pictures at the Planet Hollywoods all over the world.
Right,
was that,
right.
Remember how big that got at one time, guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you turned on E! Entertainment or whatever, they'd always show them, you know, at one of the locations. And
opening a film, and it would be held at Planet. So, I mean, when we first went down there, that was the big to-do. And then it was amazing how 2 or 3 years later, it was like, I don't want to be caught in that joint.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny now. They literally send people out to them, almost, you know, grab people as they're walking by to go in there. It's really a shame.
That's exactly what I was going to say when we were down there for the movies just a couple of weeks ago. We walked past it, and it's completely surrounded by construction walls now, so you can barely even see it. But down there, you know, on the ramp up to it, they have people almost begging you to go up to eat lunch there. So.
Yeah, there must be something really invested with Disney that kept it this long.
Well, I'm glad they did, because it is a unique-looking building, obviously, and it's, now they're going to integrate it into the new Disney Springs, and like you said, Doug, at least you'll be able to, you know, say to somebody, hey, you know, I remember back in 97, it used to be this, and now look at it, you know?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's only a positive. It's not a negative that they're redoing it, so I'm happy about it. Next two items I'm really happy about.
Yeah, I mean, also at the Disney Springs.
And who mentioned this before?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Well, go ahead, read it.
Disney quick service locations and kiosks will be blooming this spring. Perfect for a quick bite. Keep checking. Two Disney cookbook. Okay, so they're going to add quick service locations and kiosks at downtown at Disney Springs.
Kind of like Food and Wine, huh?
Yes, you did mention that, Chuck. I'll give you credit for that. And then also with that, they're going to have two Disney cookbooks. Delicious Disney sweet treats book due out in the fall, and then one celebrating both the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival and the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Dates to be determined, blah blah blah. But so like you said, Doug, you know, given the fact that Food and Wine and Flower and Garden are so popular, it sounds like they're going to kind of integrate some of that theory down there at Disney Springs, where you'd be able to walk around and not necessarily go in a full-on sit-down restaurant, but kind of grab some things at kiosk. And they also have the trucks down there, what do they call them? The food trucks.
Yes.
Down there in the middle. And
as we call them up here in New Jersey, the Roach Coaches.
Yeah, the Roach Coaches.
But they are good. Yeah, here comes the Roach Coach, guys. We'd all say it, then you'd have like 50 construction workers running out the door to get the fresh food.
Yeah, I just wish the Roach Coaches had food as good as the food trucks in
Disney.
I'll tell you what.
They are good, man.
There are a few of them up here. There's one that's a mother and daughter. They used to come to all the construction sites, and everything was handmade. It was so good. You would smell that truck pulling in the lot.
Wow.
They were really good. There's a few of them up here that really – there's another of them that have the smaller ones that have the prepared stuff.
Right.
And you could tell we wouldn't even eat off them when they would come from, like, the conservatory, like the fresh bought. But then you would have other husband and wife teams that would actually make the fresh meatballs the night before, the hot roast beef. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they would make it all and then serve it. So there are some really, really good ones out there. And the new development that we built, the new outlet stores that I was just a part of, they have four or five of these trucks just like the ones that Disney has.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They're awesome. I mean, the particular one that I ate at last time, or a trip before last, but it was the Animal Kingdom theme one. And they brought, you know, some of the dishes, I think the buttered chicken and some of the things from the different offerings. I mean, obviously they don't have everything, but they had one from the Animal Kingdom. They had one from Disney's California Adventure. You know, they just have they just represent the different theme parks or different restaurants from those theme parks. But the food, you know, it's kind of moderately priced, and that, you know, it's not as expensive as if you sat down somewhere. But it's not, like you said, Doug, it's not a wrap sandwich that was made 3 days ago either.
No.
It's fresh food that's served, similarly to how you would get it at the theme park. They're awesome.
Yeah, it's like kiosks with the bigger. They're just a bigger version of the kiosks, is basically what they are.
Yeah, they also bring the beer and wine. I mean, whatever matches up with those, John. So, have you eaten at the food trucks at all?
Yeah, we tried I think it was the Epcot one. We tried the sliders.
Nice.
And I think there was two or three sliders that came with it, and me and my wife shared them. And they had the. I forgot what beer it was, but beer that matched up perfectly with it. So yeah, and they were really good. It's really fresh. You're thinking of a food truck, and I know you just said, Doug. But generally, when you think of a food truck, you're not thinking of something gourmet. But I was quite surprised at how tasty it was. So.
Well, ever since speaking of Jon Favreau, he did that one Chef where he went on the road with him and his son, and they started. Have you ever seen that? Because me and Brenda love foodie. And he did a food truck. And over the last 4 or 5 years, food trucks have become more and more upscale than what they ever were. Like, Mrs. G, who's a good, I call her my second, like, a mother, my adopted mother. She's the one that lives in Florida now. At her development at Sola Vita, once a week or twice a week, all the food trucks come. And they have, like, an outing there in the park. And they all get to eat the fresh food and offerings. And these trucks actually travel to different parts of Florida each day of the week.
I've seen them in Tampa, and I've seen them in Orlando, both on different, like you said, different nights of the week. They show up at different places, and usually there's a good 20, 25, 30 of them to choose from. So.
Oh, wow.
And it's all high-end stuff. It's become very popular, and I'm looking forward. I hope they keep them there. For the longest time, I thought it was, like, temporary. Now that this – because I mentioned these kiosks months ago, and I was just saying it because it's what I believe, and it seems like it's coming true. And I'm happy about that, but I wonder if these kiosks will slowly make the food trucks go away to open up more space.
Right. Yeah, they may do that. I mean, as we know, they were, for a while, they were in between the World of Disney stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with, too, of feeding the contractors down there.
Doug, I'm sorry. I got to take this.
Oh, what's it, your business stuff? You there, John?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dennis had to go.
Well,
with work and all, but I don't know, John. Are you going to be heading over to the food trucks more? Or?
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking what you were saying about, you had said it's going to become almost like a food and wine festival thing down there. But I'm thinking you could really walk around to the different food trucks, maybe get two or three items, then walk over to the Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, get a small plate, walk over to. Marimoto, sit outside a small plate there, so you could really just meander your way around Disney Springs now for an entire afternoon for 3 or 4 hours and not necessarily have to sit down anywhere but try a whole lot of different cuisine. So that sounds like a good day.
Now I'm excited. I thought this was coming for a long time as far as the kiosks. I couldn't see, it's so popular, food and wine and food and flower, that I can't see them not taking advantage of it with Downtown Disney, because I think it'll draw them. I think they're looking to, they want to draw people to all the shops. Because all these high-end shops are opening down there. Why these kiosks and all would make it, because not everybody has, again, the money to go into Boathouse and STK every trip. But everybody can grab a snack from one of the kiosks and make it more fun and more of a day traveling down there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't seen the prices for STK yet, but I'm going to have, we'd have to really, really look at that before I decide I want to spend, you know, 50, 60. I can imagine they'll probably start at 45 to and above for their stakes, you know. Yeah. So it'd be a lot nicer just to grab something on the outside and get a taste of it and decide if I really want to put that much out for a
exactly. stake. Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I like the idea of all these kiosks and everything else. Everything okay, then?
Yeah, it worked out okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. This is the problem with recording live.
Yeah, life gets in the way, right?
Yes, but it's all good. But we were saying how happy we are with all the... As John was saying, STK Steakhouse will be around. He's thinking around 45, 50, and he's hoping there's a way to try that before he commits to having a full meal there. And that's what all these kiosks are good for.
Absolutely. Looking forward to all of it.
So that's going to be it for this week, guys. Please go over and check us out on Facebook and Twitter. John will be posting pictures of the Italian water.
All right, I'll work out. I'll get that done this week then.
And we'll be seeing more pictures. Being he got his new annual pass, now he can send all the pictures from the rides. So we're looking forward to that. Follow John at Beer Solo, Dennis at Oak Manor, or at WDW Main Street. And you know me, old grumpy 6767.
Yes.
So, and please head over to Facebook, over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. And you guys have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
See you later, guys.
Later. Bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.